Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, we're continuing on tonight, and I did want to tell everybody to please continue to pray for our mom. We said yesterday, but please do that for us. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. But just such an awesome, awesome time yesterday. We had a full house, and the palms were waving, and it was just the coolest thing ever, ever. Everything was so funny, but nothing was any cuter, was it, than Nia Bella singing in the choir and really shouting out her songs. Oh, my goodness. She literally just brought this house down. It was so, so cute. I thought it was just adorable. Again, thank you all for your support for Frieda and her family during the time that she just went through. And all of you who came and served and who offered yourself was just, it was amazing. This place was literally packed. And it was just such a great, God is really moving. He's moving in our church, in our house here. And it is just amazing. Well, we're continuing tonight on our series of healing of our emotions, because all healing is not physical. Some of it is emotional, some of it is spiritual, and even mental healing. I want to begin by just a very quick review. I'll just hit some bullet points. We talked about last week how anger will take you places you can never come back from. That's really important to remember, by the way. You think, well, I can just fix all of this. Sometimes it is not fixable, if that's a word. We must never misuse or abuse the emotion of anger. Uncontrolled anger will always, always lead to dangerous behavior. The cost of uncontrolled anger is too high to pay. Anger will kill all of your relationships just one by one. It'll click them off. Anger will kill them. It will cost you your marriage. It will alienate you from your friends and family. Anger can send you to prison for a very, very long time. I also want to add a note to that I did not add last week. It is a very dangerous thing for you to shake your fist at God and become angry at God, your creator, who is a good, good God, who has always been good to you and is not deserving of any of that. We need to be very, very careful about that. I've heard a lot of people say, well, God can hang. You know, it's one thing to have feelings. It's another thing to, I am mad at God, and I'm just going to let everybody know. That's ridiculous. It is very dangerous. There are two types of anger. There's a righteous anger and there's an unrighteous anger. And the good anger is when you're angry at things that God is angry at, injustice and harming other people. Righteous anger is that's from God and of God, and unrighteous anger is from the pit of hell, and that's where we get in trouble. So we're going to put that to rest and continue with another emotion we're going to talk about tonight. Fear, the emotion of fear, because we all have, and just like I said, anger has two sides to it. There's a righteous anger and an unrighteous anger. There is also two sides to fear. There is a good fear and a fear that will keep you safe, and there is an unholy fear that comes from the pit of hell. So I'm going to talk to you about that tonight, about both of these and how different, what makes them different. But 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. You want to get rid of fear? The love of God fill you up, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit, which means a demonic spirit of phobos. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God is not the one who makes you gives you a fear of the dark, a fear of spiders, a fear of flying in airplanes, a fear of getting sick. That doesn't come from God. That comes from the enemy. I want to begin by saying fear is not always a negative emotion. It is an emotion, period. It is not always negative. There are two different words for fear, and there are two different uses of it. So I'm going to begin by saying that one definition of fear is respect, honor, and awe. An example of this type of fear is the fear of the Lord. Now, this type of fear is a Hebrew word called yare. It is awe, respect, and honor. Let's read a couple verses. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear, honor, respect, and reverence the Lord and depart from evil. If you honor God, you will leave evil alone. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord, this means it comes from him, the awe and honor of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 10:27, again, you notice this, the fear of the Lord prolongs your days. The other type of fear can shorten your days, by the way. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. We see that. In each of these verses that I just read, the fear of the Lord, it's a holy fear. It's a righteous fear. It's a holy fear. It's an honorable fear of the Lord. Another way to use this kind of fear is when we recognize godly authority, when we honor our civil and governing authorities and spiritual authorities. When we honor God, he keeps us safe. When we honor our spiritual authorities and our civil authorities, again, that keeps us safe. We should fear the consequence of disobedience to the law. That's an appropriate motion to have, to say, I cannot pull the trigger because I'm afraid of what might happen to me. That is a good use of fear. The respect of the law will save you. You should be afraid to rob a bank. This type of fear will keep you safe. It is the same exact fear when you honor your civil authorities and spiritual authorities as it is when you honor God, because God is the overseer of spiritual and civil authorities. You can take that over into even talking about, you know, the Bible says, obey them who have rule over you, for they watch for your souls, because it keeps you safe. Again, it keeps you safe. This type of fear of governing authorities can keep you from getting hit by a car. If you just decide that you are not going to honor the law and you have no fear of what might happen to you, you'll just plow right through the stop sign. I read a funny story a couple years back that I actually put in my notes today. It was about a woman who was drunk. She was intoxicated. That's crossing a line too. She was intoxicated and she climbed in the lion's cage at the zoo, where she was brutally mauled, and very immediately ambulances people. She was also charged with the crime, by the way. And she almost lost her hand because she had no fear of the law, the sign, the governing authority. So she almost got in trouble. Well, that's what happens to you. So fear can be a healthy emotion, and that's yare, but it can also go against you too. Now, today I want to primarily talk about the other type of fear. Not that we know to fear God, we know to honor our civil authorities. There's not people around here jumping in lions' cages and doing things like that. So, since we've got that part down, let's talk about the other type of fear. This is the one that the enemy tempts us with. This is the one that can trip us up, so to speak. This type of fear is from the enemy. It's not from God. And this word for fear is phobos. And by the way, one of the Greek god's names was Phobos, the god of fear. That's what it was. And it's where we get our word phobia, which means you can be afraid of anything. There are thousands upon thousands of things that people have phobias about. I won't even go into all of them except to tell you that I remember telling you at one time, and it holds true, that there's a fear of purple, the color purple, things like that. They are, and here's the thing, because the enemy, he wants things are so foolish. He's not bright by any means. But this type of fear is a fear that the definition is terror, horror, intimidation, panic, and dread. So let me give you an acronym. I don't know if it's on the screen. It's not yet, but it's soon coming. The acronym for this type of fear is, you can remember it like this, false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. When the Bible tells us, it doesn't just suggest that we fear not. God commands us to fear not. Now, this is not the word where we fear of the Lord. You might say, well, the Bible says to fear God, and now it says to fear not. No, they're two different things. We're talking about two different things. Yes, reverence and honor a holy God. Do not honor the enemy. The fear for this is the word phobos. This type of fear will paralyze you. It will keep you in bondage. It will stop you from living a joy-filled life of peace. It will also keep you from your destiny. Just suppose that Lilia had a fear of singing. She had a fear of singing. She just couldn't do it. Every time she got up here, she was just like, I can't. I'm just so afraid of it. You know what? That's going to keep her from destiny. That's going to, and you know, the inability to use your talent, maybe make a CD, record, whatever. Fear can paralyze you in such a way that you will not fulfill your destiny. You cannot let the enemy rule and reign over you by allowing fear into your heart. It means you have to control fear, or fear is going to control you. In the same way, you must control your anger, or your anger will rule and reign and control you. That's just the way it is. And that's why God tells us not to be afraid, that we should not fear. Isaiah 41:10, let me read this to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will make you strong, and I will also help you. And I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. What does this all mean? So I'm going to let you read it from another translation. This is a PPK translation. You'll figure out that later. Commentary on Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, because I am with you day and night. Literally, I say day and night. And do not be bullied or intimidated by the enemy, because fear is your enemy. It comes from the enemy. And do not be dismayed. Do not live in dread, or don't be discouraged. Do not live in terror of anything. Do not panic, but keep calm. Do not dread the future. Why? Why? Because I am the Lord your God. I am the one who will keep you strong. I will help you. I will be with you. You can call on me when I need help, and I will hold you up with my righteous, strong hand. This is what God will do, day and night, all the time. Don't be bullied by the enemy. Don't let him put fear in your heart. You will be tempted to fear, but you can reject it. You can say, no, that's not of God. That's not of God. It is a command of God, as I said, not a suggestion, to not be afraid. Why? Because it insults God for you to fear when he's told you not to fear, that you don't have anything to be afraid of, that I'm with you. It means you don't really believe and trust that God really is with you, or you don't trust that God really will hold you with his right arm, that he will get you out of trouble. It reveals in you and I, when we get caught up in fear, it reveals a lack of trust in God if we allow fear to enter us and remain and control or rule over us. We are never to let an emotion, even a God-given emotion, rule and reign over us. We steward our emotions. They don't rule us. Now, I'm going to give you a list of 12. I believe there's 12 they gave us. 12. Yes, they gave us 12 of them. The top 12 things that people are afraid of. And you might, and the reason I want to list them to you is you might recognize them. And if they ever come to you, if this ever, you know, presents itself to you, you'll know that this is something I don't have to be afraid of. The number one is, of course, death or the dying process. Either death or the dying process. It's the number one thing that people are afraid of. But you know what? Fear not, because we're going to rise again and live with Jesus, because we've made plans for that. Number two is losing a loved one. Nobody wants to lose a loved one. But Frida is not concerned, because she knows where her loved one is. Therefore, she has not lost him. He's just moved to another place. Losing a loved one. Loneliness or being alone is number three. We don't have to worry about that or fear loneliness, because even if we're alone, we're not alone, because God is with us all the time. We don't have to fear that. Number four, failure. We do not have to fear failure or falling, because our success is in the Lord. He's called us to faithfulness. Number five, I cannot read my own, rejection. I cannot read my own writing, but it is the fear of being rejected. Why do we not have to worry about the fear of being rejected? I'm going to be rejected. No one's going to like me, because we are accepted into the beloved. We are accepted by God, and that's all that really matters. If the whole world rejects us and we must stand alone, God has accepted us. The next one is the fear of getting hurt or becoming ill. Let me tell you something about that. God heals our sicknesses and our diseases. We don't have to fear what the enemy can do to us. Not at all. We don't. This one is kind of interesting. It is inadequacy. In other words, I'm not enough. In Christ, you're everything you need to be. In Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about that. Number eight, very interesting, snakes. I'm listing them as they gave them to me. So snakes. But it hit me. That kind of hit me too. Because what animal represents the enemy? Snakes. You don't have to fear the snake in the garden. You can pick him up and cast him out. I can handle snakes, right? Does the Bible not say we can? Number nine is spiders. What do spiders represent? Demons? Demons. If you have a dream about spiders, it represents demons. Let me tell you something. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear at all. This one is kind of sad, actually, because this really shows you where people's heart is, because this was in a survey in 18 countries, the fear of cancer specifically. To me, I'm going to say it one more time, Christ over cancer. Christ is greater than cancer. Cancer doesn't beat Christ. Christ beats cancer. Jesus is our healer, and we've seen it before, and we will see it again. And the other one, the last one, is fear of an unknown future. Do we have to worry about the future? I don't think so. We know where we're going. We've already planned for our future. So none of these, if we are to fear these things that the world fears, which this represents, all these things represent what the world fears, death and dying and spiders and getting hurt and failure and rejection and inadequacy, we don't have to fear none of that, because Christ is with us and in us and flowing through us. So we can just cast out fear. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded, not suggested, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you're at. Now you might think, well, maybe I'm not afraid of these things, but if I was at the right place and in the right city, no, wherever you go, God goes with you. And I want to say it like this. Just because you have fear does not mean fear has to have you. Just because you have an emotion doesn't mean that emotion has to control you and rule and reign over you. Either you conquer the fear or the fear is going to conquer you. Now, let me say this. Anger and fear are similar in many ways. One of the ways is that if you don't conquer the anger, it's going to conquer you. If you don't conquer fear, it's going to conquer you also. When we allow fear to terrorize us and paralyze us, it means that we trust and watch this. Now, be careful, because you need to hear this. If we allow fear to terrorize us and paralyze us, it actually means that we trust and have faith more in the power of the enemy and what he can do than in the goodness and the power of our God. If we allow fear to say, I got to back down. I got to back down. There'll be people tell you can't preach the gospel. You can't. I got to back down. I'm allowing that fear. It means I have more faith in the enemy than I do in what God can do, the power of God. When I fear, it means I believe bad things are about to happen. When I put my faith in God, I believe good things are about to happen. To continue to let fear rule does mean that you have just given over to the devil. Fear will keep you from your destiny. It will keep you worrying and expecting bad things. If you're in fear, you're going to expect something bad around every corner. You're going to, if you have fear and you allow fear to come in, when you go to the doctor, you are not expecting a good report. You are expecting a bad report. If you go out in the city, you are not expecting to come home safe. You are expecting or in visualizing that you might get shot or you might get hurt. We expect bad things if you let fear come in. But I want to keep saying it over and over, just like the song, fear, you are a liar. What the enemy is a liar. If there's one thing he does, he lies. He's a father of lies. And when he tempts you to get into fear and fear to take hold on you and paralyze you, that's a lie. That is a, and this is what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. The spirit of fear is a lying spirit. That's exactly what it is. It's lying. And you've heard my story before. And when I say it will stop you from your destiny, the first thing that comes to my mind is for praying for people and that, well, they might not be healed. And I don't really want to talk to people about my God because they're not going to believe that anyway. And they're not going to get saved anyway. So fear is going to stop you from even doing the kingdom work. It just is. And other things too, it will make you look like a fool. You remember I told you years and years ago when I just knew someone was in the basement, and I just was so terrified that I got my dad on the phone, and my dad's on the, you know, he's just blocks away, and he pretty much knows there's no one in the basement, but, you know, where I would have been killed already. You know, why am I on the phone talking to him if there's a killer in the basement? Because he's still here. And so he's like, you know, Pam, you just need to calm down. He could tell I was very worked up, and I'm like, no, Dad, I swear to you, I hear him. And Dad's like, just calm down. Jesus is with you. And I'm just like, but Dad, I just need you. And he's like, well, you have God. God's right there. And he said, I can come over. And he was trying, and he said, but what we should do is you should take the phone and go to the basement. I'm like, no, I just told you. He's down there. And Dad was like, no, Pam, he's not. He's not down there. He said he would have been up there by now. Not down there. He's not just hiding out in the basement waiting for me to get off the phone with my dad. He's just not. But that's how it can just grip you. And I was so sure it was a lie. It's a lying spirit. You know, and it can jump from person to person. When we were kids, we had an incident where I talked, my sister Sandy actually was the first original perpetrator. We were left alone in the house, the four of us, and somehow lights flashed off. There was one of those two-way light switches my parents had, and my sister gathered us in the room and told us, again, that there was a man in the house. I don't know how she knew it was a man, but somehow in her mind, there was a man in the house, and we're all in danger, and we need to hide. We're now all in one room, and I am the queen of panic, used to be anyway, and I was hysterical. I mean, there was one, Laurie was hiding in the closet. I don't know what Pastor Ken was doing, probably trying to talk me off the windowsill. But I got up on the windowsill, and I jumped out the window. A neighbor guy seen me. That's how our life was. And you think your family's dysfunctional. Come on now. You think you've got stories, the four of us together. But fear paralyzes. Fear will cripple you. And it doesn't get better, by the way. If you indulge fear and you dwell on those things and you go ahead and you see crime story after crime story after crime story, which I used to love because I used to like to, okay, what's going to happen? What happened here? You know, how'd they get away with this? You watch it over and over and over. Pretty soon, that guy's in your house, in your basement, because it's what we feed ourselves. We need to feed ourselves the Word of God, faith in the Word of God, and love. Talk about the love of God, because this is, my point was, it can jump from person to person. All I got to do is go right to Debbie and Janice and get a little group and say, oh my goodness, I just heard that ISIS is coming in here and this is going to happen. And that fear, you know, you it affects, right? It's a spirit. So the pandemic was a perfect example, was it not? That fear spread like wildfire. I realize it was serious. I understand what was going on. But we need to walk in faith and say, if God is for us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Even any tongue that would rise up against us to talk about us will be put to shame, will be brought. And if we lay hands on the sick, if someone gets sick, we lay hands on the sick and the sick are healed. You know, and we need to understand that the enemy will tempt us, but we don't have to fall to that temptation. And many, many people, I think the two things for me, if I was to pick from the list, two things that I was ever tempted to fear about, I think it would be, number one, the fear of the future. Because we don't know what the future holds, do we? The fear of the future and the fear of death and dying. But I'm not afraid of death and dying anymore. And I'm not afraid of the future anymore, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You just live today. Take care of today. You can live a blessed life, but not with fear. Fear will intimidate you. Fear will bully you. And it will keep you from enjoying life. One good example is a roller coaster. Some people would never, ever, ever get on a roller coaster because of fear. But guess what? A roller coaster can be fun. Some people would never, never, ever get on a jet ski. But I'm living proof that they're a lot of fun. But fear can keep you. And fear will also cause you to make... This is one of my points as our praise team comes, if you all would come to worship. Let me tell you a real strong point here. Fear will cause you to make terrible decisions. If you are fearful, like my jumping out the window, I could have broken a leg. I didn't. But it will cause you to make foolish decisions, terrible decisions. A young man that I knew of committed suicide because he thought when he went before a judge, he was going to get prison time. It wasn't even quite that serious. But instead of go before the judge, he took his life. That was fear. Something that fear wants to own you. Fear wants to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. False evidence appearing real. You know, I'm not going to give in to it. I'm not. I'm not going to be afraid of any of these things, because I'm not going to be afraid of death, because the Bible says when we die, when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid of finances, because he feeds the sparrows and he supplies all my needs. I'm not going to be afraid of failure, because with God I cannot fail and all things are possible to him who loves the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid of sickness, because Jesus healed them all. I'm not going to be afraid of rejection, because God has accepted us and loves us unconditionally. I am a friend of God and you are a friend of God. And don't let fear stop you. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. All of my fears. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Joyce Meyer says, fear takes captives. She says that when we are all tempted to fear, we have fear, but one of the ways to battle fear is with faith. Do what David the shepherd boy did, face the giant with a rock. He did not have fear. He did not back down. In Jesus' name, we're going to worship.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.